Get ready to drop the puck, take a free throw, and step up to the plate. It's time for the Metro East Sports Podcast on lineupmedia.fm.
From the Lineup Media Studios, welcome to the Metro East Sports Podcast, Season 2, show number 21, recorded Monday, June 7th, 2021. And in the background, you hear James Brown. I'm going to get to why. Because this is a Joe Wiley special. And Joe Wiley, the basketball legend, loves James Brown. But before we start with Joe Wiley, I want to thank partners Cassens & Sons, Callaway Home Loans, Keller Williams Marquee, Jeb and Ginger Blasting Game, and Integrity Spine and Joint Center, where we talk all things sports on the Metro East Sports Podcast. But today we are delighted by the presence of one of the great athletes, one of the icons of the Metro East. Maybe the biggest guest we've had thus far on the show. Welcome to the show, Joe Wiley.
Hey, it's a pleasure to be here. I'm so glad you invited me. And I do like to talk basketball and little James Brown every now and then.
You tell me you like James Brown.
Yeah. I've been to a number of his concerts. Yeah.
Do we start with the James Brown stories? No. I told you I wanted to start with what you're doing now, but maybe we start with the James Brown story, or maybe we save that for a little bit later.
We'll save it for a little bit later.
Well, let's catch us up. You've been doing television for 20 years. Yeah. You're in the St. Louis Sports Hall of Fame. You're in the SLU University Hall of Fame. You're number two all-time scorer at Belleville West. You are the man.
Well, yeah, I did have a good run. Let me tell you a little bit about growing up in Belleville. It was terrific. I had a lot of friends, still have a lot of friends there. I live in Belleville now, of course.
Yeah, what are you doing now?
Well, so I was with, when I started doing TV, I was with Monsanto for 22 years. And I get this call from Fox Sports and they said, you know, we want to put Billiken basketball back on the air. Would you be interested in auditioning as an analyst? Sure. Cause I had done some on camera work before. And so
how would you describe your voice? Butter. You got one of the great voices, man. I'm sitting here just loving it's just smooth.
A lot of people say that.
It's awesome. Anyway, sorry.
Yeah, so I talked to my boss. I got the call back and they said, "Hey, Joe, you're the guy. You know, we really want you to do Billiken basketball." So I said, "I got to see if my folks at Monsanto are okay with that." So I went to my boss and I said, because I had a pretty good job at Monsanto. I was a director level and I told him exactly, and he knew my basketball career. I said, "Well, they're interested in me being an analyst, but I know that will interfere with my job." "Joe, don't worry about it," he said. "Just give us a plug every now and then."
How about that?
So for 20 years, you know, I worked with all the TV celebs over in St. Louis. Mike Bush, Mike and I starred together. Mike's a terrific guy. I learned a lot from Mike.
Was that your first time working in media? Had you done any previous work as a athlete even, or even in college? Or
no, I had done some work where it wasn't exactly let me put it this way. And I don't know how, I don't remember how this happened, but I was asked to be a part of a training video. And so I
did. At Monsanto?
No.
Oh.
This guy that I knew, he called me. He said, "Would you be interested in doing a training video?" And I actually did it with people that were up and coming actors and actresses. And it was very interesting. So I had done some of that. And, then when the whole thing with the TV analyst came along, it was great. I mean, you know, I learned a lot from Mike Bush, Joe Buck. Joe and I did, 4 or 5 games, really a good guy.
How much training did they give you?
None.
They just said, "Sit here and talk about the game with the play-by-play guy."
Did that. And, it was, 20 years.
Why do you think they hired you? Well, that's a pretty big risk to take.
Yeah. I think they like my voice, and I do know the game a little bit.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of where it was.
I knew that. I mean, it's obvious that you know basketball, but I think they also, when you get to know Joe Wiley, you find out that he's just a warm, good guy. And I think that carried off during your television career as well.
Yeah. And we're Frankie Cusimano. I've got stories about Frank, right? So, you know, they owned the restaurant over in St. Louis for years, Kimo's. And so his dad was a very nice guy. He was very nice to me. Marquita and I, when we were dating, I'd walk in. And one day, Mr. Cusimano sits down at our table. He goes, Joe, how are you? I said, I'm just fine. How are you? He said, good. He says, I'm going to fix your meal at your table. Got the best bottle of wine. And I'm thinking, well, what's up with this? And so he's sitting there and he goes, you know, and Frank at the time was at DeSmet High School. He said, well, you know, Joe, my Frankie, he's just got to get a better jump shot. I'm thinking, uh-oh, okay. So that whole entire spring and summer, I worked with Frankie on his jump shot every Saturday. And that's how I got to know Frank.
How did it go?
Oh, Frank was full of questions then. I mean, he was full of questions then, I'm telling you.
Hey, Paisana. <Yeah. laughs> I got the Godfather music playing in the background.
Yeah, yeah.
So you were able to help the kid or not?
Oh, absolutely. And Frank, before we started shoot arounds, he would say, did you have a date last night? I'd say, Frank, you know, I mean, he said, well, what was she like? You know, he was just great. You know,
well, that's funny.
And so he and I have been friends for a long time, and then we got to do games together, and that was even a lot more fun. You know, yeah. So that was what a great experience that was doing the games, because I love to travel, love to watch the game, you know, for 21 years, it was just fantastic.
Had to have been a blast.
It was. It really was, and I'd love to do it all over again, you know. It's a lot of fun.
Before that, you're a college star, you're a high school star, but for you it all starts off as a kid growing up in Belleville.
Yeah.
When do you remember first knowing, hey, I love this game?
Yeah. My brother Ray and I, we were basketball fans, and I loved the Celtics back then. Bill Russell was my guy. And we went to Highmont Grade School. Of course, back then we didn't have any basketball programs. So we'd shoot around. We'd have local neighborhood kids, and we would, you know, scrimmage and play ball like that. And so I was also a football player, played a little Devils football. We were undefeated. When I was 13, we were Pop Warner. We won the entire thing nationwide. We were really good. I played football at Belleville West as well. I was a tight end. Clyde Keene and I were the only two sophomores to come up on the varsity. Because we had great teams back then, great teams. So I lettered in as a sophomore and a junior. Senior year comes along, and my basketball coach, Jerry Turner, who I have a great deal of a lot of things that he did for me, you know, he was a good coach, and he always kept me on the right path, not that I was falling off on the wrong path. And so he kept telling me, your basketball play, Joe, is going to carry you a long way. But I was also played offense and defense and football on a team that was 9-1, and then we were really good, because we had 4,000 kids in the school, Belleville High School then. And so I was really torn, you know, but I didn't play my senior year. And so that year we were loaded too with basketball.
Were you decided? Were you at that point convinced that basketball was going to be your sport?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, because the carrot out there was the fact that we were loaded, 6'7", 6'6", it was going to be our year.
Who were the guys on the team?
Jimmy Martin. Jimmy was about 6'6", and he swingman, guard, and forward player. Sid Clemens, 6'5". Bill Snelling, 6'7". Johnny Green was our point guard. He was small, but he could, you know, he was a good point guard. He could move the ball around, get you the ball when you needed it. He had great vision. And in fact, Johnny passed away. He was one of my best friends. And so, but our first two games that we played Wood River and then we played Cahokia. Both of them beat us. Now, so Coach Turner says at practice that after we lost that second one to Cahokia, he says, let me tell you something. We're playing Collinsville. He said, and if you guys don't come here to play, he was really perplexed because we were that good. He says, your parents are going to see some kicking out there. Everybody's going,
you can say ass.
Yeah. Okay.
So this is a podcast.
All right. All right. So
were coaches a little different back then?
Yeah. Our coach was, you did what he said, you know, he didn't mix words, you know? So we played Collinsville and beat them by 12 and we were off to the races. We knew we were loaded. We knew we were good. We lost, I think, five games that year, 27-5. But when it came to the state tournament, we were ready. I mean, you know, it was any basketball player that's ever played in the state of Illinois, particularly back then and now, getting to the state tournament, a tournament was what it was all
Tell us what year this is again. Tell me what year was your senior year.
1966. And so we won the first game. I hit a buzzer beater. We were losing. I hit a buzzer beater. We tied them.
Against?
Joliet Central. And so then we went to the next game. And that's the one with, I'm trying to think of the name real quick. That's the one where, Dale Kelly was their superstar. He went on to Northwestern. He was a player. He was a really good player. Guard. He could really shoot it. And so we got right down to the wire. Game was almost over. And that's when I was fouled. Referee didn't call it. We lost by 1 point. So we went on to the third place game. We won that by 30 points.
Now, Galesburg? Dale Kelly went to Galesburg.
Yep.
So you hit a buzzer beater.
And let's see, with the that's how we went to the next step. Mm. And then the third game was the third place, our fourth place game. So we played the third, won the third place. That's where I broke the state tournament scoring record. I had 30, I think it was 32 a game. Yeah, 32 a game for the four games. That was the average, and that was a new record.
Talk about the style that your team played with compared to today's basketball. How would it look? How is it similar? I mean, it sounds like you got five guys, and everybody knows their role, and you got the quintessential point guard, and you got your bigs, and you got everybody can shoot it.
Yeah.
Too many threats. How much of it was choreographed by coach, called by coach? How much of it was you guys saying, here's what we're going
to
run?
Well, we were well coached, and we knew what to do at the appropriate times. Coach might call a timeout, and you know he would say, look, I'm going to put so-and-so on this guy. You know, Joe, you get in the front. But I was always in the back because I could get up. I tipped out at 11-8. That was my, you know, so it's pretty good.
That's real good.
Yeah. So I had like a 40-inch vertical and could get up pretty good. So... And that was very helpful. I think I might have been first in rebounds for a while there, too. I haven't looked at those stats in a long time. And then, of course, at St. Louis University, I wanted to stay close to home. Love my mom. You know, she's 94 now. My dad, he passed away. So Coach Turner said to me, Joe, if you want to stay in the area, play in the area. St. Louis U would be a great place for you because I had all over the place. You know, I had letters coming in. And what was the other thing that was interesting? And look, I was so naive, right? I had never had a date in high school. And so all these letters are flowing in from all these women, all these young ladies. Oh, yeah, it was unbelievable. Stacks. And so, and they all had this signature down there that would say Swank or something like that. And so I went to my sister and I go, what does this mean? She goes, sealed with a kiss, dummy.
Swack.
Yeah, swack. Yes. Yeah.
Let me ask you a question. How would Joe Wiley and that team of guys with whom he played in 1966, how was that experience different than a kid in 2021 who's got Facebook and Twitters and AAU in the off season? How was that experience? How would the experience be different for today's kid?
I don't think it would be that different. I think what's made a difference is the TV games and the Final Four and how that's grown on TV. I mean, you know, that would be the difference. But in Illinois, going to the state tournament was what was happening. I mean, you know, if you get to the state tournament, because it was one of the best state tournaments in the country.
Mm, still is.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
You know, we're holding our own down here in the Metro East in Southern Illinois, but let's be honest. Chicago carries the show.
Right.
On the bigger levels.
Yeah.
But I feel like in Illinois, like a lot of Midwestern states, you got your city powerhouses, but I'll be darned if every one of these little farm communities doesn't have a good team. You know, that movie Hoosiers doesn't just apply to that state.
Oh, I know. I agree with you. And, you know, back then, now they've got different sectionals and so on. The way they, back when I played, there were 800 high schools in Illinois. I believe that was it. And you had to, you know, you had to fight.
That was it.
Fight.
One show, one class.
Right. That's right, one class.
And it, you really find out who's the best. But I think if you're the small school in that situation, you find out how you stack up against those big schools too.
Yeah. No, you're right.
I mean, Hickory beat the big school.
Yeah.
Don't forget that.
Yeah.
So you pick SLU because you wanted to stay home. Yeah. Your parents got to see you play. Mm-hmm. And you wind up in the SLU Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Describe your career at SLU.
So I had a wonderful time at SLU. I made some great friends there, still have them. Most of my teammates were in touch quite a bit. The best experience I had, I think the number one experience was I started as a sophomore. On that team, we had Eugene Moore, 6'8". We had a 7'1" guy, Rich Neiman. Barry Orms was a guard. Those three guys went straight to the NBA. I was a sophomore and started on that team. And it was a heck of a lot of fun playing with those guys. And the favorite game I had there was I couldn't wait to play against UCLA.
Hmm.
They had offered me a scholarship. And
that's John Wooden.
Yeah. Jabbar was the man. And they were loaded. Of course they were loaded. And so we get out there, and I'm looking around. Bill Cosby's in the crowd.
Pauly Pavilion.
Oh, yeah.
John Wooden's new play toy that he was using to recruit the best players in the country. Yeah. And you picked SLU.
Yeah. Yeah, but I tell you what, I was high scorer in that game as a sophomore. The announcer was saying, this guy, Wiley, gets up like a 7-footer. I mean, he's out. I was shooting jump shots from all over the place.
And who were you? Who was guarding you?
Oh, they had, they had Mike Warren, Edgar Lacy, the guy that, the point guard, he turned into a movie star on Cops. He was their point guard. They had Swin Nader as a backup to Jabbar. Our 6'8 guy, Gene Moore, blocked Jabbar's first skyhook, but Jabbar went on to get 22 at halftime. So
at the time, it's Lou Alcindor.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. But eventually.
Yeah.
And the team doesn't come out on top that day?
We lost that game. It was a tournament. We won one out of the two, I think one out of two or three. So,
but you put up 35 against SIU Carbondale.
Yep.
And you averaged 22 points, and you were all conference 3 years.
Yeah.
you were the man at SLU, and they must have thought, wow, what a deal for us that Joe Wiley wants to stay local.
Stayed local, and I'm glad I did it. If I had to do over again, I'd do the same thing.
And you got a great education there, which you put to use.
Yeah, and I got my master's degree there too. Coach says to me, he said,
Joe. Coach Turner or your coach at SLU?
At SLU. He says, you know, it's up to you what you want to do, because I had offers from 4 or 5 NBA teams, but they didn't draft me. They wanted me to come as a free agent, and I wasn't interested in coming as a free agent. You know, I love the NBA, love watching it, but I thought, and SLU said, look, if you want to get a master's degree or a law degree, we'll pay for it. And I said, okay. So I got a master's degree, went to work for Pfizer in human resources, didn't know anything about human resources. A guy hired me on the spot. I worked there for 3 years. Then I went to General Dynamics, which was a great company, traveled a lot with them in human resources, and then Monsanto. And you know, I got the great gig doing games while at Monsanto, and it just worked out great.
The education was a big deal for you.
No question. No doubt about it.
Were you a serious student when you were a collegiate?
Yes. Working on my master's, that was kind of hard because, you know, as a jock, you know, you're getting ready for the next game, and, you know, you're – and some teachers didn't give you know what if you missed a class or whatever. But when you're traveling, it's hard because you got to take your books, and you also got to be thinking about the game you're going to play and all that. But it was, you know, got my first plane ride, and that was interesting. And, you know, the Missouri Valley Conference then was tough. Bradley was in it, Cincinnati. It was Jim Ard was another guy that I played against in the state tournament, and we didn't get to play against them because they ended up winning it. But we played them in the Centralia tournament. Jimmy Ard, 6'8", 6'9" back then. I outjumped him in the center though.
Did you ever try high jump?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Did you do that at West? And I mean, well, excuse me, at Belleville.
Yeah.
In track.
And here's why I did it. I was a baseball player growing up, and played a lot of baseball, center field, shortstop, first base, and because I had good hands, I could, and in football, I'd catch anything. Coach would say, damn, Joe Wiley. He said, you got the hands.
How'd you develop those hands?
I just could catch.
When I was a kid, we played Indian ball with a wiffle ball bat and a tennis ball all day in the street. Yeah. So I can catch.
Yeah. I could do the overhead catches in the eighth grade. Played on that little Devils team, man. I'm sure that's why I had some NFL. You know, I had three NFL coaches or teams that sent me letters. And, and each one of them said, we've talked to different people and we think you can play NFL.
At what year, at what age were you getting these NFL?
Senior year.
Okay.
Senior year of college. Yeah, it's my last year.
You had to have seriously considered going to some college to pursue football.
Yeah. Yeah, I loved football. I really did.
Do you still love it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you ever wonder, you know, if I'd gone that direction, where I'd be right now?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I really loved football. Some of my buddies, Johnny Rowland, Johnny and I are friends. I'm in a club with him. He's a good guy. We talk about that every now and then. He's quite a guy. But, yeah, I loved football. And I was really – I had second-guessed it my senior year in basketball when my teammates said, Joe, we need you at that end spot. You know, and I'm thinking, oh, geez, I let him down, you know. But basketball turned out to be my thing, you know, rolled with the punches. But I was a good football player. Not bragging, but I was. You know, like I said, Clyde Keene and I, We're the only two sophomores to go up on a really good football team. When we were freshmen, we were undefeated. We beat East St. Louis by our varsity beat East St. Louis by 4 touchdowns. But we were a big school, 4,000 people, kids. But I was always a starter, and it was football was a heck of a lot of fun. And Bob Fraley was our coach then. He ended up going to Mizzou as the freshman coach, and then he coached there a little bit longer. But he was a really good coach, smart. Dean Wren was his second coach, or this coach next to him, and those two were geniuses. I mean, we were 9-2 one year. We beat BD St. Louis a couple of years, and they were always good too, St. Louis. But I loved football. And, man, when football came around in the fall, and I'm shooting hoops in the gym and going to some of the games and thinking, oh, man, what have I done, you know? But it is what it is. And I think I came out okay, but it was really hard. It was really hard, you know, when you play with guys for 3 years and you know you're good and, you know, you can make the team as good and better. That was I think about that often too. But
how did the sports culture in the Metro East in 1966 look then compared to now in 2021? Does it look a lot different? Does it feel a lot different? Or does it feel pretty much the same? Yeah, it's still the same schools competing with each other, and it looks pretty much the same. And how does it look to you?
I think it looks pretty much the same. I think it's like the NFL, let's say, where you got more kids playing football than basketball, because or even in baseball. You know, when I think about baseball, you know, how many African American kids now do you see playing Major League Baseball? I mean, they're all shortstops are all point guards in the NBA. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And so it's a very interesting thing to think about. You know, I look at the baseball icons that I liked back in the day. You know, Gibby and all those guys. Now it's a different game.
Less African Americans,
yes,
in baseball,
right?
Overall, a lot more Latinos in the major leagues, yes,
right?
So why are fewer African American kids playing baseball? I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, a lot of them, like I say, they're either tailbacks, running backs, and basketball the same way.
Yeah.
You know, one of my very best friends is Dick Versace. He's the NBA coach.
Right.
He's my son's godfather. Now he and I have had some fun. Dick's not doing well right now. He's got Parkinson's.
And, sorry to hear that.
Yeah. Yeah. But, he, and I used to hang around with him and a bunch of the other coaches. He'd call me and say, cause he coached the, Indiana Pacers, and then he went to Vancouver. So he'd pick up the phone and say, hey, why don't you meet me out in Vancouver here? I went out to meet him when he first started Vancouver, right? Because we were doing a game against University of Washington. And I said, hey, Dix, I'll tell you what. I'll come out and spend a week with you and then, you know, fly to Washington for our Billikens game, because I was doing that game. And so he has me picked up in this limo. And so, hey, this is sweet. So we get out to the house where Dick's living, and it was kind of dark that night. And so I walk in this house, if you can call it that. It was the owner bought it for Dick to stay there while he was assistant coach. Movie theater for 44.
Wow. I don't know 44 people that would sit and watch a movie with me. I need a theater for one, right, most nights.
He had a pool in the basement. He had, I think there were 12 bedrooms. It was, and then when I got up the next morning, the view was more fantastic than the house itself, it seemed.
So you're telling me he makes more than an English teacher?
I would say so.
So that was a lot of fun hanging out with Dick and some of the other coaches. You know, we would just a lot of fun with him. And
was it more fun being a broadcaster?
Chuck Daly. Yeah. Yeah.
The look on your face was perfect.
Right. Yeah.
It sounds like you got to enjoy the game without all that pesky putting your body through hell and having to compete. That's hard work.
Yeah, it is.
Broadcasting sounds like it was kind of laid back from your perspective.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. It was something different. At the same time, you know, because I could utilize what I knew about basketball to call the games, and sometimes I would say, "Here's what I would have done," you know, or you know, they need to get this guy back in.
Did you ever think about getting into coaching?
Not really. I just didn't think I was cut out to be a coach. I like the recruiting better because I brought some really good kids in St. Louis U.
Okay.
We had a kid named David Burns that was a fantastic player. I went down and got him. Coach said, I don't know, we'd love to have this kid.
Who was the coach at the time?
Ron Ecker. Ron Ecker was the coach. He was a coach for maybe 2, maybe 3 years. And this kid was a junior college player. So I went down to watch him play in a tournament.
Where?
Corsicana Junior College, Corsicana, Texas. Mm. And then he also played in the All-Star game, Junior College All-Star game. This guy, he was about 6'3", ran a 4.35, 40-yard dash. He had a vertical jump of probably at least 11 foot, 11.2, 11.3, and he could shoot it and was a speed merchant up and down the court. He got drafted by New Jersey. He could play. I'd love to watch him play.
I'm just so happy you said speed merchant.
Yeah.
Speed merchant.
Yeah.
That and water bug. Those were the two terms when I was a kid. He's a water bug.
Yeah, right.
He's a speed merchant.
Yeah. Yeah. So
how'd you get him?
You know, I went down with the coach. He said, Joe, you got to help me with this kid. So I was working for General Dynamics at the time. I said, sure, I'll take a week vacation.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a big sacrifice on your part.
All right. Yeah, I was, you know, I had no qualms about it.
Is that because you love the school or the coach?
Love the school. And this kid,
still love the school.
Oh, yeah.
What did that school do for you?
Made a lot of great friends. The Jesuits were terrific. I had good faculty. And, you know, we had some pretty decent teams when we had Eugene Moore and that crew. 7-footers and so on. I think Travis has done a good job. I'm down at every game.
Still go to every game.
Oh yeah.
What can they do to turn the corner?
Well, I think they need to get a couple more good bigs. We got Javon Perkins back. He's gonna play another year. I'm not sure what Goodwin's gonna do or French. It appears to me that they're gonna go overseas. French, in my opinion, is not an NBA player. I mean, you know, there's some things he does well. He's a good rebounder inside, but it's 6'6.5. You know, I'd put him in an NFL uniform though. He's a load. Yeah. He's a load, man. He's tight end. You know, so I don't know what he's going to do. He could play. He could make some money in Europe. Goodwin for sure could make some money in Europe.
Had some players at SLU who have been some of the greatest players you've seen during your time as a television analyst. Did you see Bonner?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I know Anthony very, very well. I'd have him come over the house quite a bit. Him and we were in his freshman year, he was a diamond in the rough. His sophomore year, he got better, and then he exploded after that. I see him quite often. He's a fine young guy, and I'm trying to think of the other guy real quick that was with him on that same team. He was also a good player and had a tryout. He was 6'5", 6'6". Oh, he's right on the tip of my tongue. I'll get it in a minute. But Bonner was really a good player. You know, that his freshman year, He learned a lot. By his sophomore year, better. Junior, senior year, he could play. I mean, he was rebounder, strong as an ox. He was one of the best players we've had at SLU, and we've had some pretty good ones.
Yeah, you had some very good ones, and some great coaches too.
Yeah, yeah. Spoon was a good coach.
Spoon was a great coach. Rick Majerus,
the best.
I wanted your opinion on
Rick
Majerus.
Was the best, and let me tell you how that happened. How we got Rick. So we were looking for Rich Chaffetz, called to Dick Versace, and Chaffetz was trying to wanted to buy an NBA team, and he wanted Dick to help him. That's how they got connected. And so Dick calls me, and he says, hey, you know, I'm working with Chaffetz on buying getting an NBA team. He says, but at the same time, we need a new coach at SLU. He asked Dick, who would you recommend? Who's out there? Dick said, well, Rick Majerus is out there. And so he said, well, you call Rick for me, because Dick and Rick were buddies. And Rick was playing at Marquette when I was at SLU. He wasn't playing. He was kind of a bench guy.
Gotcha.
So anyway, he says to Versace, he talks to Versace, and he says, I'm interested in that job down at St. Louis U. Is Joe Wiley still there? Dick goes, Joe's my best friend. I'm his son's godfather. He says, give me Joe's number. So Rick calls me. And I said, hey, what's going on, man? You know? And so we talked. He says, I'm interested in the job at SLU. He says, but I don't want to talk to anybody but the head guy. I said, that would be Father Biondi. He said, that's who I want to talk to. So I called Father the next day. And he took the call. He goes, yeah, Joe, what's up? He says, what do you got? I said, Father, Rick Majerus wants our coaching job. Father goes, Rick Majerus. I go, Father, Rick Majerus. Oh, yeah. I know who you're talking about. Yeah. He says, well, what do you need for me to do? I said, Rick would like to make a phone call with you at 10 a.m. Can you be available? He said, yes.
Deal got done.
It all got done. But here's what Rick did. Here's what kind of guy he was. So Rick gets the job. You know, they have the media come in and talk to, you know, we had like 150 people there for Rick's first, you know, I'm glad I'm here, da-da-da-da-da. And I sat in front with Cusimano and those guys. So he's giving his philosophy on basketball. Rick is. And he says, I want my players to be the Joe Wileys of the world. I was stunned. I mean, I'm thinking, man. He says, and then he said it again in another part of his speech. He says, and I mean it, the Joe Wileys of the world. He is a guy that people should emulate. And so afterwards, you know, I said to Rick, I waited around. I said, hey, Rick, I really appreciate those words. I said, man, you didn't have to do it. He said, I meant every word of it.
What do you think he meant? What is it about you that he thinks that he thought people should emulate?
Yeah. Because we had some good conversations. I guess I just didn't. It took me completely by surprise. I mean, the media guys were sitting there, and the place was packed.
Positivity.
Yeah. I mean, you know, so he and I, you know, would stay in touch during the season. And going out to dinner with my man was a treat.
He could throw it down?
Woo, yeah. But he was a great guy. He was really a great guy. And he was, I think he was the best coach we ever had in my time.
What made him good?
His practices were very interesting. I mean, his players would make them run if they didn't set the right screen. He hammered home things to them. So when they got on the court, these guys knew what they were doing. The other thing I liked about Rick If we were down by, let's say, 8 points at halftime, within 2 minutes of second half, we either tied or we're ahead of them. He could figure it out. I mean, he could figure
in-game adjustments.
Oh, he was the best.
I think some coaches are so good at that.
Yeah, and he was.
And other coaches, yeah. Like, especially in football, I don't watch that much basketball, I'll be honest, but in football, there are just some coaches that the second half,
yeah,
they just like, you know, and people say, well, where was this first half? I'm like, well, they changed their game plan.
Make that adjustment.
Look what they're doing now.
That's right.
Title of your book. You're going to write your memoirs.
Oh, boy.
What's the title?
How I Live My Life would be one I would think about.
How have you lived your life? Based on what?
Making a lot of friends, helping people where I could. Finding jobs for people that didn't have them. And I'm still doing it. You know.
That's what Rick Majerus meant, Joe.
Yeah.
He was thinking, be someone who gets in a place where he can help others.
And make a difference.
And he's still a guy. Joe Wiley's still a guy.
Yeah. Well, you know, you asked me too, what am I doing now? All right. So I started a business and when I left Monsanto, it's a human resources consulting business. I've had it now for 17 years. We do executive search. I find a lot of people jobs for free, but it's something I do. I've got some really good people in some high positions that didn't think they could ever get there. So everything I learned at Monsanto and General Dynamics and all those places, a lot of these young guys that come out of school say, here's how you got to do that. Or here's what you need to think about.
A mentoring program.
Yeah. I just do that as a freebie, you know, but I like to find young guys that I think are up and comers jobs. Of course, on the other end of that, you know, with my search business, you know, obviously companies call and say, Joe, we need I just did one for a president of a company and I get paid for that, you know, because we got some pretty good, Nestle Purina is one of my clients. And most of these, I tell you, it's because I went to St. Louis U, you know? And so BJC is a client, you know, I've either help somebody get there. And then so it's a go-to place for me because I've been doing business with BJC now for about 14 years. And,
so when you're mentoring these young people, mm-hmm. I'm assuming that you mentor some women as well.
Yeah.
And who are looking and you're giving them career advice, mm-hmm. philosophical advice. What do you hear yourself saying over and over?
That's a good question.
What's the advice you're giving these young people? Because I'm a school teacher and I find myself saying the same things over and over.
I guess one of the things I tell them, you got to like what you do. When you walk in the office, don't say, oh, here we go again. You know, I got to find something else. You know?
Yeah, nobody wants to work with that person that walks in and says,
it's exactly
man,
right.
This job sucks. Yeah,
it's like, that's right, right.
Hey, thanks for showing up today.
Yeah. You know.
And nobody wants to play with that kid.
That's right.
Have you always been the positive, hard worker?
Yeah. And I think that's because my mom's always positive.
Mom instilled a positive outlook on life in you.
Oh, yeah. And all three of our kids, it was three of us, four of us. And my dad, you know, dad was a good dad, but you know, dad was, I'd say, you know, I got this opportunity. Yeah. You gotta know what you're doing. You know, I mean, mom would say, Joe, you can do this. She came to every one of my basketball games. In fact, she had a heck of a two-hand set shot.
And she wasn't, and she,
5'4",
she couldn't play. Like when she was a kid, there weren't opportunities for girls to play basketball.
No. You know, they would just do it in gym class. And we had an old hoop out in the back, and mom had a two-handed set shot and could play ping pong like nobody's business. I stopped playing ping pong with her.
Athlete.
Yeah, 5'4".
attitude came from your mom, and did mom emphasize the classroom too? Were you always good? Were you always a good student? Because you had to have been a good student to
survive
do what you did.
Yeah, because it's hard on athletes, you know.
They weren't giving stuff to you at SLU.
No.
People that say, oh, Joe Wiley, yeah, you went to SLU, you played basketball, you didn't actually go to class. You're telling me you went.
That's not the way it was at SLU.
Right.
Yeah.
Maybe some places, but not.
Yeah.
That wasn't your experience.
Yeah. It wasn't. Oh, because I wanted to learn something, you know. And so I was a good student. My freshman year, my first semester, I had like a, and I was goofing off, I had like a 2.5. Coach said, I looked at those grades.
Wait, freshman year of high school?
Freshman year, SLU.
2.2.
It's about a 2.5.
Okay.
He says, Joe, you're smarter than that. He said, you know, you want to keep your scholarship. And the next semester, I had 4 A's, 1 C, and that was, but I just wasn't, you know, and I was running around with a buddy of mine who's still a great guy. His name was Fritz, and Fritz and I are still buddies. Fritz didn't give a darn about class, and he always made sure he was in the same class with me. So, you know.
You helped him out a little bit.
Oh, I had to.
You taught him how to study?
Yeah. I talked to him all the time. He's in Kansas City. And that's the other thing. I made some great friends at SLU. Timmy Hyland, he's a multimillionaire now. We go to the Derby every year. He comes up and stays with us every now and then, him and his wife. It's just fantastic, you know.
You were a winner as a kid. Little Devils football.
Yeah.
All the sports you played. Yeah. You were a winner as a high school athlete. Finished third. You were an All-American and an All-State athlete.
Mm-hmm.
You went to SLU where you were a winner in the classroom and on the hardwood. And then professionally, you have won and won and won.
Yeah.
As a television commentator, smoothest voice in the business, you had a successful career there. Have you ever failed?
Oh, I've never thought about failure. You know, it's one of those things I just keep marching. You know, it's...
There's the title for your book. I just keep marching.
You know. Yeah.
That's good.
And I've got a great wife, great kids.
How many kids do you have?
Got a son and a daughter. My son's a chef. And my daughter, Joey, she's doing some work in my business now. And she's helping my son, too. She does some marketing work. She's really, really good.
Where is he a chef?
At Beffa Brothers. They just reopened that place after 100 years.
Where is it?
It's in St. Louis. And it was a place where all the baseball cards used to go down. Right, it's not right downtown, and it's not too far from SLU. And I used to go in there with a lot of the baseball players and the Wells Fargo people. It's right around the corner from them. He went to do his chef work in Chicago. He always wanted to be a chef. So Marquita, my wife, who's brilliant, she's 10 times smarter than me. She's had great jobs with Bank of America. She's got a master's from Washington U. She's an IT genius.
Wow.
And
where's she from?
Mobile, Alabama. And she went to Washington U to...
Was she one of the gals that sent you a letter back in the days when you were getting letters from girls in the mail?
No, I didn't meet Marquita.
She had especially great handwriting, and you thought, I got to meet Marquita.
No, I met Marquita in, I think it was 1980. And what was really interesting, I worked for General Dynamics at the time, and she was working for IBM. And so we were in the same building. And I'd see her, you know, on the elevator and stuff. So one time, I was at this cocktail party, like, and she was there with some other folks. And I said, hey, I mean, I'm trying to be cool, right? You know, I said, yeah, I see you, you know, in the building. And she goes, yeah. I said, so what do you do? So I'm telling her, she's telling me what she does. And so I said, well, look, are you free Friday to go to a Cardinal game? I might be. Wait a minute. I wanted to say, do you know who you're talking to here? But I didn't say that, right? She says, no, I might be. She says, just call me Monday at the office. Called her Monday at the office, and she says, well, Maybe the next time.
You thought she was just going to say, Joe Wiley just asked me to go to the Cardinal game. He's in the St. Louis Sports Hall of Fame. Come on.
I'm telling you, it was really interesting. So we finally, you know, and I was dating Robin Smith at the time as well. Robin,
wait, did, yeah. Television?
Yeah, yeah.
You're a man about town.
Oh, well, no. Yeah. But yeah, for I guess a year or 2 years. And so anyway, Marquita and I finally connected up. We got married and got two great kids.
That's awesome.
And a great granddaughter, and a granddaughter too. She's real cute.
Well, there's something you still haven't told me, though. James Brown.
It's the dick and an.
You told me. Hey,
James is my guy, I'm telling you.
You told me you had a. Yeah. You told me you had a James Brown story.
Oh, yeah, 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 I do.
One, two, three.
Well, folks, if you know, it's too bad this isn't on video because we are getting down here in the studio. But you got a James Brown story.
Yeah, though. Yeah. So I'd been to every concert he had in St. Louis from the time my first James Brown concert. I was 14, over at the Kiel.
All right,
and I was just mesmerized by this guy. I mean, you know, he was jamming. He'd change clothes. He'd come out sweating, and the killer was towards the end. When his guy would throw the cape on him, and he's walking back like he just can't hang anymore, right? It's just too much. So I'm getting on a plane in Atlanta, Georgia, to come back to St. Louis. And I'm sitting in waiting for the plane, and, you know, people are all around and stuff. And all of a sudden, I hear these people saying, oh, it's whispering. Is that who I think it is? Somebody says, well, that's James Brown. Well, I walk out in front of everybody. I said, James, these people are all imposters. I am your favorite guy. You are my number one man. And he was with his bodyguard and his wife. And James, what he does, he looks at me and goes, hey, brother, where are you from? St. Louis area. Is that right?
Was he impressed with you?
Yeah, yeah. He says, next time I'll come to town. I said, James, I'm the guy that's out there saying, easy, James, easy.
I'm telling you, it's great.
That is the best thing I've ever heard right there. That James Brown invitation.
Oh, like,
I'm crying over here.
It was great.
Well, I'll tell you what, man. It has been such a pleasure to have you here today, Joe. It is
my pleasure. Yeah.
I think your positivity and your warm nature is infectious, and I think that's what Rick Majerus said. And I think that's why you've won.
Yeah.
I think that positive attitude your mom instilled in you. And
Thank you.
You bring You're a right. sense of class. I met you a couple of years ago, as I said, at an Emig Foundation function that you emceed, and I thought. I looked you up right then. I was like, who is this guy? Who is this Belleville icon of basketball and SLU Hall of Famer and St. Louis Sports Hall of Famer? And it's been so fun having you here today. I want you to come back.
Absolutely. I appreciate it. And then you have got to go to a Billiken game with me.
I would love to.
That'd be great.
I would love to go to a Billiken's game. That would be awesome.
All right.
Well, for partners, Callaway Home Loans, Cassens & Sons, Keller Williams Marquee, Jeb & Ginger Blasting Game, and Integrity Spine & Joint Center, our producers Brian Kroc and Everett Hicks, and our intern at Zookie J, thank you for listening to the Metro East Sports Podcast and this Joe Wiley special. Thanks so much, Joe.
Truly my pleasure. Thank you.
This podcast was a presentation of LightUpMedia.fm.